Well, good evening, Well, good evening, listeners. It is now Wednesday night Bible study, and God has allowed us to come together one more time to fellowship one with another, to visit the Word of God, to receive a blessing from the Lord. And as always, I'm excited to be with you. I am grateful as well as being honored. Tonight's lesson is going to be Let Your Light So Shine. And for those who are going to follow it in the Bible, we're going to come from the book of Philippians, the second chapter, the 12th through the 15th verse. And as always, I have to just be thankful to God for just allowing me one more time to come before each and every one of you. But before we get started, I'm going to go ahead and play a song. It's a song, and the title of it is Break Every Chain by Mrs. Cobbs. I hope you enjoy the song, and once we're through, I will come back. There's a caller that called in, and they pressed the one button. And, you know, I usually wait till after the program is over for people to make a comment. But I was just wondering if this person, their number is 891-6686. I'm going to go ahead and open the mic and see if they want to bless us right now in the beginning of the program. So I'm going to go ahead and open the mic, and if that person would like to speak, they could speak at this time. 891-6686. Your mic is open, and if you would like to make comments, pray, give us words of encouragement, you can do it at this time. 891-6686. So I'll go ahead on and close the mic, play the song, and after the service, after the study, I'll come back and open the mic for the person that's at 891-6686. Thank you. And this is Break Every Chain.
Break every chain.
and that was break every chain. You know, we have to, as Christians, walk our daily life. And there's things in our lives, adversities, habits, sins, anything that exalts itself against the word of God that we have to break. And it's a process. And you know how we always say the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. But for some reason, there are always other things in our lives that we have to break. So we have to break chains daily. It's the process of being sanctified. We are not perfect, but we try our best in the fear of God to do the things that is pleasing in his sight and to do things that will give him glory. And tonight's lesson is going to talk a little bit about this. The title of the Bible study tonight is Let Your Light So Shine. And as I say, for those who have their Bibles, we're going to come from Philippians, the second chapter in the 15th verse. And it is, I encourage each and every one of you to, when we do the Bible study, to get your Bible, you know, because the Bible say we have to study to show ourselves approved. We can't just always listen to someone, what someone is saying. But if you follow it along with the Bible and then after the study, you look at it and you search it to see what it is and how true it is and how it applies to your life. But at this time, I want to just thank God for allowing us to be together one more time. I want to thank God for his mercy and his grace. I want to thank him for his favor. I want to thank him for just being such a good God. And I have to thank each and every one of you who calls in week after week and to listen to the study where we could fellowship one with another on Wednesday night. It is truly a blessing. It is truly a blessing. And I thank each and every one of you for the time that you allow for us to study together. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Lord, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and to your gates with praise. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for allowing us this time. And Lord, I pray that the word go forth, that it will edify someone. I hope that Satan will be horrified and that you will be glorified. Lord, there's no other name beside the name of Jesus, and we have to lean and depend on his everlasting arm. Heavenly Father, help us to realize in our lives that only what we do for Christ will last. Lord, everything that we build up and create and think that means everything to us is like it's going to sink in the sand. Lord, we can't make it without you, and because you, we are. And we just thank you for your darling son, our Lord, Master, and Savior, your sweet Holy Ghost, our comforter and our God. Lord, I ask that each person that is represented here tonight, dear God, bless them in the blessings that they are in need of. Bless their families, dear God. Bless their homes, their health. Bless their finances, dear God, and protect their mind, because our mind is where evil dwells, dear God. It's not in our spirit. It is only in our flesh. Keep our mind stayed on you, dear God, that we can have success in this life. Heavenly Father, and I'm going to be so careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, because you're worthy, dear God. You're so worthy. You alone. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, as I say, the lesson tonight is Let Your Light So Shine. And again, I told you the scriptures is coming Philippians, the 12th through the 15th verse. And here we go with the lesson. When we study in the book of Philippians, we should know that the author is Paul. Paul wrote 13 books, which are really letters in the New Testament. And some say 14 because Hebrews author is not known, but some believe that it was Paul. You see, when we study the life of Paul, you will see that it's a strange one. Paul was a Jew, and he believed his job was to prosecute the Christians because he was taught that by his religion, which was Judaism, that Christian Judaism, that Christians who was giving their allegiance to Jesus Christ was blaspheming against God. They believed in God and God alone. They didn't think that Jesus was the Messiah, and they still believe that to this day. But, you know, as a Christian, we are taught that you can't get to the Father unless you go through the Son. So that's why we give honor, praise, and glory to Jesus Christ, and our hope is in Jesus Christ because he's our Savior. You see, God worked in Paul for his glory, his will, and his good pleasures. And then Paul understood that the power was given to Jesus. You see, God, Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus as he was going to prosecute some saints that had moved out of his jurisdiction, and he had got approval from the king to go even further. Because you see, Paul was serious. Paul took he took his job very seriously. And then Paul went looking for the Christians. You see, and Jesus met him, like I said, on the road to Damascus, and he revealed himself to him, and he told him what he wanted from him. You see, Paul was on the road to Damascus going to crucify Christians. He was not looking for Christ, but Christ went looking for him. Just as Paul, we did not go looking for Christ, but Christ came looking for us. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Here we see that God's master plan before the foundation of the world included Paul and the service that God wanted to get from him. That's the same way with our life. God has ordained before the foundation of the world what he wanted from us. We are all created for God's glory. We all have a design purpose that fits the will of God. We didn't go looking for Christ. We didn't go looking for God, but he came looking for us. Christ represented himself to Paul. Paul accepted, believed, and confessed, and Jesus became his Savior. Paul's ministry for Christ began when he started working out his salvation with fear and trembling. And as we get into this text here, we see Paul is giving us instructions on how to become a shining star. And that's so wonderful. So I gave you a little background, and as I read this scripture, you're going to see what the scripture is talking about. And as Paul write it, it's from his experience. Remember what I said. Paul was on the road to go to get the Christians. God, Jesus Christ, met him. So when we go into Philippians 2 and 12, it say, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Okay, Paul was writing to the Philippians. The Philippians was the people who live in Philippi. Philippi was the place. The Philippians that lived there was the people. And the church was established there after the day of Pentecost. And the people there had gotten a church, and they had began to worship and praising God. And Paul was like a bishop. And when the churches was having problems, Paul wrote to them. That's what these 13 letters about. Some was about correcting a specific problem. Some was encouragement. Some was telling them about false teaching. Sometime they had got mixed up. And I believe that's just like the churches today. You know, we have different understanding of things and the way it should go. And Paul was one who helped straighten those things out. Thank God for Paul. So Paul wrote this letter, and he told them, you know, when I'm with you, you're doing all right, but, you know, you got to be all right when I'm not there. You got to act right all the time. He's saying, while I'm not there, you need to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. You see, Paul is letting them know that how they should act when he was with them and when he was not. We should always do the right thing when someone is looking or when someone is not. You see, God wants us to be of good character. And character is when you do the right thing when someone is not looking. But a lot of people walk around as Christians, and they're only dealing not with character, but with personality. You see, personality is like perfume. You could put it on, and you could take it off. You could put it on when you want, and you could try to be all of these things to all of these people. And then you take it off and you put it on and you want to be these things to these people. But Paul is telling you to have character. You see, Christ has given us the gift of salvation into eternity once we believe. But he's also given us salvation to be able to have and do righteous living. You see, we are being sanctified daily. And I just say that salvation, when we think about salvation, we think about the eternity, you know, the after death, the living with Christ. But you got to know that God's salvation is for you here right on this earth. You see, salvation means to be saved. So we are being saved daily every time God allow you to be here, every time he take your problems out of your way. All of that's a part of salvation. You don't have to wait till the by and by to receive what God has for you. You could receive it on a daily basis. And that's what God wants you to know. It means to be saved. And we are being sanctified in the process of being saved daily. And you could have salvation right here on earth. You must know that God's salvation. You see that word salvation, it includes rescue, renewal, and restoration. So if salvation includes these things, we won't need it on that other side. So it's probably real clear that that salvation is what we need on earth, and God is providing that as well through his son Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, we are being saved daily. We are not working to be saved or to receive salvation. But because we are saved, we have the hope of salvation. And because of that, then we should work. You know, a lot of people who believe once saved is always saved. And a lot of people believe that you could be saved but begin to do things that is not pleasing to God and lose your salvation. But I want to tell you, if you got to do things to be saved daily on earth once you were saved, then where's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that have saved us once we believe, once and for all? I'm not giving you a license to sin, but you need to realize God gave us grace, and it was an unmerited gift. You get it by belief and faith. So you're not working to get saved, but because you're saved and God gave his son, you should want to work. You see, we should display Christian character with fear. That's what the scriptures say. Work out your salvation with fear. But I want you to know it's not being afraid of God, but it's giving reverence unto God. You see, Proverbs 1:7 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if you don't have any reverence and fear of God, I can tell you, you won't be that knowledgeable. You see, in the rest of the scripture say, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Then the other part of the scripture say we're trembling. The reason it says trembling, it's not mean shaking in your boots and that fear word that was up there that you got to be afraid of God and all of that. The trembling mean you have to be very conscious and concerned because we do not know all that is required of us to please God. And as you do it with the trembling, it's saying, God, I want to please you, and I don't know everything. Because the scripture tells us some things we'll know by and by, and some things is just too much for us to comprehend. So we don't know everything it takes to please God. And we're walking through this race, this walk and this race, and we hoping that we're pleasing him with everything we do. But the smart person knows we are not afforded the privilege to know everything. So we walk through with trembling. You see, God no longer judge our sins, but our works. You see, even in the day of Noah's, God's grace provided an ark of salvation. You know, we always hear Noah in the ark, Noah in the ark, but do you know it was an ark of salvation? Because it saved Noah and his family. And as I talked earlier about salvation being for now and here, this is a prime example of salvation and what it does. It saved Noah and his family. You see, God's judgment against sin and sinners is real. And he demonstrated by a royal flood. Everything was wiped out. The animals, the plants, the trees. You know, all human beings. But he saved Noah through the ark of salvation. You see, working out our own salvation here on earth, there will be sacrificial services required of you. You say, okay, you say, well, how do I work out my own salvation? One of the ways is there will be sacrificial services required of you. There will be conflicts that come against you. I want you to know this. If you don't remember nothing else, remember God is saving us daily. God is working in us to achieve his goal, his purpose, and his will. So I want you to know there's going to be a lot of molding, a lot of shaping, a lot of testing, a lot of giving, and painful growing. You got to remember, with God, all things are possible. Trusting is part of our work and believing that he will work it out for our good. So, working out your own salvation, a part of it is trusting. Do you trust God? Do you trust him? Totally, it's a part of the working out your salvation. Obedience is another part, because obedience produces faith, and faith, when it is solid, it produces light. Now, you see, the lesson was let your light so shine. You see, that's how your light shines brightly, because obedience produces faith. And faith, when it is solid, it produces light. You see, faith gives us the confidence to shine in the midst of a storm. You know, when you see somebody and they going through and they really having a hard time, and you know the adversities and circumstances and situations that's in their life. And sometimes you can look at them and you say, well, I'm so glad it wasn't me because I wouldn't make it. But you see, faith makes you hold on. Faith keeps you standing tall. Faith allows you to shine in the midst of a storm. You see, if you learn to trust God and obey him, you will shine like a star, and your light will grow stronger and stronger each day. That's our responsibility. Do you have a light? Do anybody ever tell you that they could see the presence of God in your life? The Holy Spirit is living and indwelling in us. And we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Should there be some evidence? And this scripture is telling us that the evidence should be a light. And it's saying it should shine brighter and brighter each day. And if we go to the next scripture, which is Philippians 2 and 13, and it says, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasures. You know, I ran across this scripture some years ago, and after I read the scripture, I felt really good. Really, really, really good. I entered into a new rest. I entered into peace. I really received joy when I read it. Because the scripture told me that it was God that worked it in me. It didn't say that I had to this or that to grow. It told me that God is going to work in me to do his good pleasure. So what this scripture is saying, that it is God going to work in you to get what he wants from you. Your only job is to cooperate. You have to learn to cooperate with the things of God and cooperate with God. Because God is doing the work. God never sent us out there or told us to do things that we couldn't do. And anything that God asks of you, he also gives provisions. So that's still rest. We make things so hard. You see, now this scripture let us know beyond a reasonable doubt who will enable you to work out your salvation. You see, it's by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that's going to work out his pleasures in you. It is by God's grace, everything through Jesus. Isaiah 54 and 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee will prosper. There are two significant results of Christ's death and resurrection. God is working in us and equipping us to do the kind of work that will please him. I'm going to read that one more time because we need to know that. And it says that God is working in us and equipping us to do the kind of work that will please him. We have the victory, so we should just start acting like it. Our main purpose is to accept the gift that God has given us so that we will be able to be with him through all eternity. He has already paid the price. It is done, it's complete, and it's finished. So if you accept Christ as your Savior and you believe it in your heart, we have the victory. So let's start acting like it. Remember what you were created for God's glory, that you were created for God's glory. Remember that. First, you should be encouraged. The working out your salvation is not so much your work as it is God's. Second, you must work with fear and trembling, and we talked about that earlier. And then God is producing in you both to will. When they say, that scripture say God is producing in you both to will, which means he's going to give you the desire, and to do, which means to actually accomplish it. So if I read it with the definition of that word, will, and the definition of to do, we'll read it like this. God is producing in you both the will and the desire to do the things and to actually accomplish his pleasure in you. God has never desired anything from us that he didn't provide the provisions necessary to accomplish it. Before the foundation of the world, God had his will in mind, and he created us for his pleasure and his glory. You see, God knew that man would never achieve his will. That is so deep. God had his will in mind, and he created us for his good pleasure. But God knew that man, really, in and of itself, could never achieve his will and give him pleasure in and of ourselves. God is telling us, this is what I want you to do, and here's what you will need to achieve it. You see, because whatever you need, God got it. You see, 2 Timothy 2 and 15 say we should study and show ourselves approved unto God. We have to study to know the will of God. See, plenty of us are falling short because we don't even know what God expects or wants of us. We have to study to know the will of God. He gave us the gift of salvation through his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe, whoever believes, should not perish, but has everlasting life. You see, once we accepted him, he allowed his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to dwell in us to teach us how to help ourselves and others. See, God has provided us what we need. The scripture says that God has provided us with everything we need to live a righteous life. You see, when it's all said and done, we in a dispensation, a time of no excuses. We're not going to be able to go over there. God, I would have did it, but you see, my mama left me when I was three. God say, I'll be a mother to the motherless. You know, you're not going to be able to say, God, you know, I would have did better, but my husband divorced me. You know, the Bible teaches us that there is nothing that can ever happen to man that has not already happened. And anything that will ever happen to you, they have other people that it has happened to. And through the grace of God, they made it through. You see, he guides us in a way that we should go and comfort us in time of trouble. He convicts us when we're doing wrong and seals us with the hope of Jesus Christ, which allow us to rest and trust what God has done and what God is doing, and most of all, what he has promised to do. You got to remember, if you have a good job and God don't supply you help, you won't be able to go to work. You see, salvation here on earth is a gift from God. And what you do with it is a gift to God for his good pleasures and glory. Remember our job. Remember what God expects of us. God has not left us alone to deal with our struggles trying to do his will. He is beside us. He is within us. And he will help us. God gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. The secret to a changed life is to submit to God's control and simply let him work. Okay, I'm going to read that again. The secret to a changed life is to submit to God's control and simply let him work. And before you know it, you will become a light, a bright light in a dark world. Because you got to remember that it is God that worketh in us to will and to do his good pleasures. And he will help your light to shine if you simply let him work. And if we go to Philippians 2 and 14, the scripture says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. So you think that's important? Of course I do. Because if God took time to put it in his words, all things in the word of God is important. All things in the word of God is true. All things in the word of God is for correction. All things in the word of God is for repute. All things in the word of God is something for you, for your daily living, for your daily life. You see, the Bible is in daily instruction for daily living. The Bible is your road map to get from place to place year after year as you grow in grace. The Bible is a road map for how you should treat your family. The Bible is a road map to tell you how to restore broken relationships. Come on now. The Bible is telling you how God loves you and what he did for you and what he's doing for you and what he's going to do for you. The Bible is full of God's promise. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He said, I'm going to help you to be the head and not the tail. He said, I never saw the righteous forsaken or their seeds breaking bread. You see, you got to go in the word to know that, and you can't hold on to God's unchanging hand unless you know the word of God. And God is telling us, I done did all this. I done provided all of this. I got you. I'm holding on to you. I let my Holy Spirit live in you. I got a fence built around you. I'm giving you favor. He said in this scripture here, he said, do all things without murmuring and disputing. And in the first place, what do you have to murmur, dispute, or complain about? Because if you really remember, it is God that's working in you to will and to do his good pleasures. You know, did you wake yourself up this morning? Did you plant a seed in your womb that allowed your children to be born? And yet you murmuring and complaining? Have you ever told the water to stay within the boundaries of the sea so it wouldn't flood? Have you ever made lightning roar? We are not afforded the privilege to walk around mumbling like we are entitled to this. God is the creator, and by him all things were created. Let us stay in our place and do the things of God, but let us do it with the proper attitude one towards another. Stop the gossiping. Stop the bringing down someone's character. Stop the lies and the deceit. Find yourself something to do in the word of God and do it. I guarantee you, you'll have peace. You see, you must trust God to move on your behalf. No matter whatever state you're in, have faith that God will and shall work it out, and it will be for your good. You see, we shouldn't go around acting like the unsaved. You see unsaved people say and do and act like anything, but so many times we look just like them. If you do what the unsaved do, you cannot let your light shine because the things that they do of the world, and you know the world is associated with the flesh. If we keep doing everything and being any kind of way, then we are just like them. There's no light in the unsaved because they haven't accepted the Savior and the Holy Ghost haven't come lived in them. We can't go around acting like the unsaved. We just shouldn't. God lets us know that this is not our battle, but it is his. And guess what he say? He's able to fight and deliver us from each and every one of them. But you got to trust him. You see, God is doing his part, and we should learn to be loving and peaceful and patient, first of all with ourselves, because we are our own worst enemy. We beat ourselves down for what we did 30 years ago, not realizing and can't come up out of it and can't just put a stamp on it and say, you know, the past is the past. You know, and can't learn to work right in this day, because that's what we got right here and right now. Because tomorrow is not even promised. Have you looked at the obituary lately? You know, how many times you hear somebody say, oh, I was just talking to her last night. And last night she died. See, because tomorrow is not promised. So we should do our part, because as I say, God is doing his part. And we have to learn how to be loving, peaceful, and patient. First, as I said, with ourselves, and then with others, so that we could shine as stars. And you have to watch out, because I don't want you to let your light be clouded or turn dim by complaining and arguing. You see, Satan is waiting for you to start complaining and arguing, and then he say, I got a gap now. And then he enters your mind. And now, you know, besides your arguing and complaining, you got Satan in your head talking to you, and you're getting confused, and I would imagine your light is getting dim. And leave the arguing and complaining alone, because you don't have nothing to argue about. You don't wake yourself up. You don't give yourself help. You can't create strength. It is God's. All things through Christ Jesus. And I want to let you know this. And we have to be so careful of this, because it happens, because it's the world we live in. Please don't let someone else make your light go out. I'm going to say that again. Please don't let someone else make your light go out. You got to watch who you let talk in your ear. You have to watch who you let people, you got to watch where you let people bring you to. You got to watch what you allow people to help you to entertain. You know, everything ain't for everybody. You got to watch. Please don't let someone else make your light go out. And this is the last scripture for the night, and it's coming from Philippians 2 and 15. And I took this out of the NIV Bible, in case you got the King James. And it says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, and a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. What I'm saying here, what did Paul say here? He said, work on, work your soul salvation out. And a part of it, as I say, is your work. What is the work? Try to be blameless. Work towards being as pure as you can. Understand that you are children of God. And you try not to just be faulty, because this is a crooked and depraved generation, these times that we are living in this world that we're living in. And God knew the world was going to be like this in 2013. And he wrote in his word thousands and thousands of years ago. He said you're going to have to live in the world, but you got to find a way and work out your salvation and not to be a part of the world. You're going to be in it, but don't be of it. And then if you don't be of it, you know, they say we Christians are, should be peculiar people. We should have a different look about ourselves. We should shine like stars in this universe. But you have to be doing the things of God. And I'm going to ask you this tonight. When someone sees you, will they see light or darkness? Do you represent God are the ruler of this world, which is Satan, the devil. Do your faith shine as you go through life learning and depending on God? That's how we have to go through life. You can go through life any way you want. But the smart way is to go through life realizing who God is and who you are not, and leaning and depending on God. You see, Matthew 5:14-16 said, "We are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house." Have you brought any light to your house lately? "But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, our essential mission as a Christian is to become a light. Have your light ever brought someone to Christ? Can someone look at your life and see God working in and through you? We are blessed. And we should know it. God's greatest blessing is the gift of salvation through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And when you, once you realize this, we have the victory, we can rest, we can trust. God is going to provide everything what we need to live a righteous life. He's working in and through us for his pleasure. When we can get all of that synchronized in our head, and I say it ours, because I ain't got it all there, but I know that's where I'm pressing towards the mark. And that's the direction I must go to receive the things of God. You see, once we do that, we can be a light in this depraved generation. Because God has blessed us into salvation. And I want you to know that nothing comes our way can cause us not to shine unless we allow it. Our eternal life is secured. And that in and of itself is a reason to shine so bright. To have a smile on your face when you wake up, when God allow you to wake up in the morning, and what he has done through his Son, that you have the victory. And when this life, which the Bible expresses as only a vapor, this life here, y'all, is not that long. It seemed long to us because the Bible said 1,000 years is a day to God and a day is 1,000 years. These little years we live, if we live to be 110. In God's eyesight, that's small. But we take this little time we have and we just put everything in it for the things right here and right now. And I don't even have to go to the scripture to tell you that it's going to be all like grass and it's going to be all gathered up and it's going to be burnt, put in a furnace and burn away. But I could tell you, as they say on the street and have been saying in the world, you know, you never saw a casket with stuff attached to it. So, you know, we're going to leave all of this. So our hope and our sights should be in God, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I want you to know as I close, God needs you to shine bright in this day and time. Please simply allow God to work in and through you so that your light will shine even brighter as a shining star. And that's bright. So I hope that the lesson tonight is help someone and help us to know the will of God for our life. We ought to be peculiar people. We're supposed to be set apart. How we got set apart? When we accepted Jesus Christ the Savior. We got a new life. And your new life came with light. So do you let your light shine that men may see it and glorify the Father? You know, the Bible teaches us we got to be about our Father's business. We got to stop the mumbling and the grumbling. We got to stop recognizing who God really is. We have to start studying to show ourselves approved, that we can line our life up with the will of God. Plenty of people are not lined up because they don't even know God's will. How can you do God's will if you don't know the will of God? God say for the people, the sick people, he say, I got you. God made a master plan before the foundation of the world. And each and every one was included in there. You see, before the foundation of the world, before I was a part of my Father that was implanted into my mother, God knew November the 20th, 2013, at 9:20-something p.m. See, God knew this. God knew that each and every one of y'all on this line was going to call in. And that's why I tell you, it's not about me. It's about God's working in us to will and to do his good pleasures. You see, because I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm just not. But you see, God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. And everything that he's doing and everything that he has designed is for his pleasure. And all I can say is thank you, Jesus. And, you know, God is doing all of this. And God say, I'm going to fix it so no man can boast. And that's why we got to humble ourselves before God. No big eyes and no little U's. He's saying, I want one body of Christ with many members. And each one of y'all, I want you to play your part. Are you playing your part? Do you know your part? Hallelujah. God say, I'm coming back. And as that scripture say, without blemishes. And you know, he say, I'm coming back for the church. And you know the church that we worship in on Sundays, the church building, the church is each and every one of us. We live in a world where everything and anything goes. There's trouble on every side. They have a hospital being built every day because of sickness, diseases, and pain. The funeral homes are all filled with dead bodies. There's storms and over here, and there's tornadoes over there, and there's flood over there. Open your eyes, people. And yet we have the victory in all of this. You will have eternal life if you accepted Christ as your Savior. And that's the lesson for tonight. And if anybody would like to make a comment, a question or a concern, you could press the 1 on your phone, and I will open the mic. Anyone would like to make a comment, a question or a concern, you may press the 1 on your phone, and I will open the mic. Well, no one has pressed the 1 button, and if you did, it's not coming through. But at this time, because it's 9:26, we have 4 minutes left, and I would like to take time, and we have to close out with prayer. If anybody on the line would like to make a prayer request, you could press the 1 button on your phone, and we'll include it in a closing prayer. You may need prayers for someone that's sick. You may need prayers for someone's finances. You might need prayers for somebody going to prison. Hallelujah, the prisons is full with our children. You might want prayer for the world. But dear God, just want to say thank you. And at this time, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, our healer, our rock, and our redeemer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to take time to say thank you. Heavenly Father, I have one prayer request for Mr. Brown, who's going in the hospital to have a procedure done. Lord, I'm asking that you be the doctor in the sick room. Heavenly Father, I ask that you anoint and appoint everyone that he's going to come across. Allow favor in their hearts towards him, dear God. Give them the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth to do everything correctly. Let there be no errors, dear God. Give his family the strength to be with him. And once he's out, the help that he needs, let them be willing and able to do it, dear God. Heavenly Father, I pray for the finance of the people. You know, a lot of things is being done in this country, dear God. And there's no hope for the people. But God, you are our hope and our refuge. And to you, I will forever hold on to. Only what you do for Christ the last, and everything else is on sinking sand. Bless us, dear God. Bless my father, dear God, and the nursing home, dear God. Continue to keep blessing him, dear God. Bless his wife, dear God, as she hold on to your unchanging hand. Heavenly Father, you said you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. Bless my aunt and Homer, dear God. Bless my son and my daughter and my grandson, dear God. Bless each and every caller and anyone that's listening on the internet, dear God. Heavenly Father, and everyone that's going to go in the hospital on this week, dear God, let them come out better than they went in before. Lord, we realize that we only make our petition, but it's not our will, but it's your will. But Lord, we're going to lean and trust and depend on your everlasting arm that you will see it through. Bless Mr. Brown, dear God, and bless his wife, dear God. Give us strength as she stands beside her husband. Thank God for the beautiful children that they have. You know, all families is that not close. And all families doesn't pray together. But it's a real blessing when everybody could come and be on one accord for no matter what situation that goes on. Lord, that's such a blessing. And I say thank you. Thank you for the example of a family, the Brown family, to me. I thank you because we have to see it, to understand it, and sometimes believe it to achieve it. Thank you, dear God, for letting them be in my life. And, Lord, I thank you for the story on tonight, the lesson. And I pray that someone can begin to have a desire to be a light in a dark world, in a depraved generation, so that we could draw people in. God, you say, if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you. Give all of us Christians, dear God, a desire to want to be a light, that we can draw men, that we could be a light and they will want to join the Christian band. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, I ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen and thank God. Well, it's the 9:30 hour, and I just want to say thanks to each and every one of you again. I don't know if some of the people was able to get in tonight because the computer is going on something called the studio went into a record mode, and I didn't know how to change it, but the callers that's on, I still see your numbers. But I want to say thank you. And I'm going to play a song. It's Donnie McKirkland. When you've done all you can do, you should just stand. And I'm going to play that record. And anyone that want to listen to it, you're welcome. Thank you, guys. I love you guys. Pray for me as well. Thank you. And that was after you've done all you can do. Just stand, because God is going to work it out for you. You have to believe it. You have to believe it to achieve it. And God is right there. And no matter what's going on in your life, I have a song by Yolanda Adams say, "This too shall pass." Believe it. Believe it.
is to be revered. He is to be respected. So we want to sing a song that just talks about Jesus of the Lord. How many of you all really realize that not just as your provider, but as your king, deserving of all glory?
Sovereign God.